This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Good morning. Hello. For those of you that don't know me, mainly probably this side of the room, I'm Joel. Hello. I have the privilege of continuing our discussion and deep dive into 1 Peter this morning, and it's a couple of things up top. The pollen in the air decided to try and sabotage me this morning, and my hay fever kicked in, and Paula so kindly gave me some hay fever tablets. She brought 2, and I chose the one that she said, in her words, make her less drowsy than the other ones. So if my eyes start feeling a bit droopy or I'm a bit sniffy, I'm still here with you. Don't worry, I'll do my best. And actually, today was a great example of pretty much everything I'm going to talk about. So I could just sit down and say, let's carry on doing what we did for the first half of this Sunday morning. But I figured I'll try and find some basis in 1 Peter to encourage you to keep doing so. But yeah, let's keep going. So to start off with, I thought I'd tell you a couple of stories to kind of give you a flavour of what I want to talk about. Now, it's nearly in July. It's a mental note for me, but information for you. 9 years that I've been married to Hannah. So Hannah's over there. So it's an achievement. We're still here. But it's nearly been 9 years since we got married. So for those of you that were there at that point, time flies quite quickly. but when we were getting married, well, when we were engaged, we were thinking about, where do we start life? What does that look like for us? And we were students, we were at Nexus at the time, and we were living in Coventry. And we had some decisions to make, because we could have kind of gone anywhere, really. I mean, the secret's out, I'm standing here, so you can guess where we ended up. But we could have gone anywhere. We could have sort of seen what other cities, other places in this country were like. We could have found something there. Hannah is American, from the Pacific Northwest, so that's a very lovely place to be. Pine trees, mountains, lovely water. If I keep going long enough, I'll talk myself into it. And there's family there as well. But ultimately, we decided to settle on staying in Coventry. And that was no small part, and in fact, probably the biggest part of that decision, was the fact that this church was here. And we felt like the leadership of this church, the people in it, the relationships that were here, this was the safest place to start our married life together. Because what we're building here is really important. Fast forward a few years, and we had another time of prayer and fasting. So just like Matthew said, it's happening next month. We had a similar one, perhaps a bit smaller in terms of time. That was specifically around healing as well, a portion of that. And Hannah has signed me off to talk about this, but she came to that event and that time of prayer and fasting as a church with wanting healing for lactose intolerance. So that was discovered early on in our marriage with a date with Ben and Jerry's that went a bit askew. So she came to that with the real intention of saying, right, I want to pray for healing for lactose intolerance. And at the end of the time, we had a time together and we were gathered round in Matthew and Ruth's living room and we were worshipping and praying. And Hannah was prayed for, and as she had been lots of times with no real difference, and said to the person that was praying for her, well, when do I figure this out? How do I know? And they said, well, when you have the faith to test it, just test it and see. So we're on the way home, and Hannah turned to me and she was like, I think we should get a McFlurry. Which, if you ask me, is the best way to test how God speaks, is through McFlurries. I like that. And we did. We went to the drive-thru. We got a McFlurry with zero repercussions and have had none since. And she was healed of lactose intolerance. Thank you, because it means we can now share Ben and Jerry's tubs in abundance, which is great. Fast forward a few more years, and I was at a bit of a crossroads in my career. I've wanted to be a musician for many, many years. It's sort of old news now because of what I'm doing, but at the time I was really lost. I didn't really know what to do. I sort of trained to do it for 10 plus years, really. And I got to the point where that was what I thought I wanted, and then felt very, very strongly, and full disclosure, this is a decision I still question to this day because it's difficult, but that wasn't the thing to do. And through various people in this church, the voices of people following what they believed God was saying, encouraging me in who they thought I was and what I needed to do, I totally changed 180, and most of you know, but I'm now a financial advisor. So I've gone from the music industry to the finance industry, which is a shift that raises many eyebrows when I sit in front of people and they say what my background is, because it's a bit weird. But without the people in this church following what they believe God was saying and speaking into my life, I wouldn't be where I am and doing what I'm doing. So it goes to say again, what we're building in this church is really, really important. So those are just some examples of that. And so that relates to what I'm talking about today, because I kind of want to talk about building together. That's what I want to focus on. Because 1 Peter 2 verses 4 to 8 is what I'm speaking on. And it's a passage that pulls together lots of different pieces of scripture to lay a foundation for a way of relating to one another embedded in what Jesus has done. So let me read it for you. So that's 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 8. So flick there, scroll there. I'm holding a Bible for the first time in a long time because I normally read my phone, but I thought, let's make it look proper while I'm up here. So, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it makes people look like I know what I'm doing. So it says, "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are his living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust in him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them." There is lots in this, but I want to start with the obvious. There's a lot of talk about temples and stones. Okay, that was the thing that struck me when I read it. Lots of talk about temples and stones. So I want to start there, if that's okay with you. Because, let's be Captain Obvious, temples were physical places built with physical stones. Physical places, but with physical stones. And in fact, the temple, if you like, that's referred to in scripture would have been the temple in Jerusalem. And the temple in Jerusalem was kind of evolution on from the tabernacle. It was where God then presenced himself. And King Solomon built the temple. It was knocked down by the Babylonians, rebuilt, and then King Herod essentially finished the job. It was the place where Jesus would have been taught, where he would have been seen, been around, where he would have observed tradition, and eventually ended up flipping tables and causing a bit of a ruckus. But it was the central place at the time where people would be. It was a physical place built with physical stones. Okay, again, I'm stating the obvious, but I like that. Start there. It was a place of worship, prayer, sacrifice, teaching, economics. It was there was a court of law in there. It was a big hub. So this temple was a big place, and it was ultimately where God presents himself with people. And it was big. Okay, this physical temple built with physical stones was big. The actual temple bit was smaller, but the grounds of it were massive. So it's about 40 acres, which, to put that into things you might understand, 600 tennis courts or enough size to build 700 new build homes. It's quite a big place. The walls were 30 metres high around the outside of the grounds of the Temple of Jerusalem. The foundations were about 20 metres deep. The stones that they used to build it, so the real physical stones that they used to build a temple, were between average 1 to 10 tonnes. So the average of them was 10 tonnes. In fact, the biggest building block in the world is in one of the walls that built the temple. It's about 300 tonnes, which is the same weight as a Boeing 747 plane. So there you go. You can take that for a pub quiz, if you like. And there was no cement involved. It was just the sheer weight of the stones holding the thing up. And you're like, Joel, Why are you telling me this? I'll get to that. Don't worry. But it was a physical place, but with physical stones. And it was a centerpiece of the culture at the time, Jewish culture, how they related to one another and how they related to God. And so this is where I think it fits nicely with this verse, because this verse talks about how we relate to one another through what Jesus has done and how we relate to God. Because the temple, the physical temple, it was a big deal. But it wasn't the end. God's intention was that we are all living stones building a spiritual temple. So we shift physical stones, physical temple, living stones building a spiritual temple. It's kind of blown the whole thing wide open, if you like. We're not struck and situated in one place. And I thought this was a bit of a side note, but worth thinking about, which is that a building is really practical. I'm sure you can agree. We're in the vaguely warm sometimes, depending on the aircon. We're dry for all sorts of admin reasons. Having a building is a great idea. But we are to be a people that exist beyond the buildings that we go to on a Sunday. We're more than the houses we live in individually. That's not our identity. And in the same way, we aren't the building that we go to. And I think it's important to say that, just because I know at this church, and for those of you that are visiting or have been here a little while, we've spoken for a long time about having a building, having a place to be. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing by any means. But I wanted to encourage us that the things that we are doing with God and what we are building exists beyond having a building. And I just wanted to just say that, because this verse says God is building us into a spiritual temple. And I use us is kind of grand, everyone that believes in Jesus, but I'm condensing it down a bit to be us in this room, believers at this time in this community. But it's just worth saying, we can use a building well, but it's not the end result. It's not where we should aim. And God is the one building all of this. And if that's true, we need to partner with him to build it. So what I want to do today is talk to us about how we might be good building material. If we are supposed to be living stones, building a spiritual temple, what might that look like? And so some of this is me prayerfully using my, I think Matthew calls it my sanctified imagination, to think about the analogy between, well, a physical temple building physical stones is one thing, but if we are living stones building a spiritual temple, that's another. So what might that look like? Well, let's start with the obvious. This verse starts with Jesus is the living cornerstone. So, alive, for one, living, active, in our lives. Jesus is here, present, moving, working. Can we all agree on that? Good. And he's the cornerstone. So, a cornerstone as part of a building was the first block that goes down. It's the thing that essentially gives you the specific direction and the specific orientation of a building in a location. And then all other stones are built with reference to that stone. Some of you might know this. You're like, yeah, Joel, we've been this. We sing Cornerstone. We know it. But that is how it should start. We build as a community according to his pattern. It's not God didn't write down, and you are living stones. Off you go, team. Go build yourself something nice. It was, God is building us as living stones into a spiritual temple based on the foundation of Jesus, the living cornerstone. So we build according to his pattern. So that is where we should start. But what might that look like? Okay, so we've laid Jesus as the foundation. We acknowledge that that's a good thing to do. What might it look like for living stones to build? And forgive me, I'm using a bit of creative license here, comparing us to physical stones. But I think it might look like something like this. We acknowledge that we cannot build alone. That's number one. I've never seen a structure made of just one brick, because it's just a little brick. Equally, I've never seen a really big structure built by just one person. God's desire is that all of us are included in what he is building, and in building this spiritual temple. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 to 12 says that two are better than one. two of us is better than one of us. We're supposed to be together. And so for the introverts slash people that like to tuck themselves away, that might be annoying news, I'm sorry. But the way God gets things done on this earth is with his people. And we cannot do that alone. The second thing I think it might look like for us to be living stones building a spiritual temple is that we need to be really hard to remove. And this could be a tricky one. This might get people a bit prickly, and I'm sorry. But I think we live in a culture that is quite transient, quite non-committal at times. And personally, I'll be the first one to say this, I think the pandemic and getting used to being online has got me used to a level of comfortability with separation. It's made me think, well, you know, I could stay at home, but equally, I could go. But I could probably just tune in, you know. It's great that we've got things online, live streams, all that sort of stuff. And what I'm not doing is knocking people who join in via those methods. What I'm saying is, for me, there's a level of comfortability with separation. And I don't think it should be like that. I think we need to be hard to be removed. In the same way that in a physical temple, you can't just take a 10-ton brick out, right? They're all sitting really close together. Spiritually, if we're building spiritually, we should be quite difficult to remove. Well, what does that mean, Joel? Well, for a start, I think it should mean that people notice if you're not here on a Sunday. And this goes beyond attendance. I'm not talking about ticking a box that you've made it here on a Sunday. What I mean is that we are building closely with people in a way that is intertwined enough that they know when we're not here. We know when we're not missing. It means that it should be hard to leave this church, for those of you that are here. Whether you're a student and you've been here a little bit, or you've been here a while, I think it means you need to be hard to leave. Not that you're coerced into it, or that you are, you know, forced into staying, or you feel guilty for leaving. But it should be difficult because of the relationships you've made and the building that you've done with people causes you to think twice about, oh, actually, this is really hard. We do a great job here of sending people on, of saying when God is moving you from this place to another, we will send you with a really good goodbye. But what I think that means, it should still be difficult because of the way that we have built. So just like bricks being close together, we too should be building spiritually close. I also think we need to be open to being placed somewhere we weren't expecting. This verse says that God is doing the building. That means it's up to him where we build. So we need to be open to being placed where we weren't expecting. And that might look like it might not look like what we think. So it might look like personally going into a finance industry when you think you're supposed to be going into a music industry. But also it could be within this community doing things and playing a part that doesn't quite look like the thing that you might like to do. It might be opening up new areas of new gifting. Again, we do amazing things in this church. If you even so much as put your hand up and say, I think I might like to try that, chances are you'll be doing it in a few weeks' time. Because we do a great job of encouraging people to get involved in a way that develops and grows them, but it often doesn't look like what we think. And I think we need to be open to that. It's our job to listen to what God is saying and be humble enough to respond and build where he wants us to build. And ultimately, I think we need to be patient. Physical temples built with physical stones aren't built overnight. They take a lot of work and a lot of time. And that's if you're using quite tangible building blocks like stone and things you can put your hands on. Our building material as a community is the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, and us in all of our humanness. I would argue that's quite tricky building material to work with. And so it takes time for those things to flourish. But ultimately, if we're building, God is building us into a spiritual temple, I think that it might look like a place where we're never alone. We're close to one another. We're receptive to God's voice. And we're all diligently doing the work that he's called us to do. That sounds like a good place to be to me. But it's all built on the foundation of Jesus and what he has done. Now in the temple, so let's say we've built our temple, we're doing a great job. In the physical temple, there were priests. They were the people that were specifically placed to deal with and communicate with God on behalf of the people. They were the ones that came from a specific family line, did specific rituals under God's instruction, wore specific things, and did a very specific job. So they brought sacrifices to God in God's presence on behalf of the people. And yet verse 5 of this tells us that we are God's holy priesthood. Through Jesus and what he has done, we are able to offer sacrifices that please God, spiritual ones, but we're able to offer sacrifices. And so this speaks of our identity and our ability and purpose through Jesus. This is what we are. And this is also game-changing. This, again, has blown the doors wide open on the whole thing, because it wasn't specific people, specific time, that's all who can do it. It is all of us, through Jesus, have access to God's presence and can come before him. And the word in this passage is mediate. Through the mediation of Jesus, through Jesus being the link between all of that, we can come before God. And that might sound really obvious. You're like, yeah, Joel, we do it every Sunday. But it's a big, weighty thing that I've been challenged through reading all of this to not take lightly. And it says that with him as the foundation, we can bring spiritual sacrifices. Not physical ones anymore. Spiritual temple, spiritual sacrifices. So what might that be then? Well, I would suggest to you, I've handily thought of four, and they all begin with P. So hopefully that will help you remember them, which is always good, isn't it, when things line up. But there are things that we can do as God's people that can fill this temple we are building together with spiritual sacrifice that is pleasing to God. The first one I would submit to you is praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, so key, through Jesus, again, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. So we can bring our praise. Says it right there. Yeah. Opening our mouths, praising him in worship, in what we say. And I would extend that, again, give me a little bit of license, but to how we speak to one another. The things that we say. So what might that look like? Well, what about speaking hope when someone is hopeless? Speaking faith when someone is fearful? Choosing to speak uplifting words rather than gossip about someone? Using our mouths to praise God openly and continually. Continually is the key bit for me. That's tricky. I suppose if we're not praising continually in what we say, we've got a bit of work to do. So I'll be doing some work on that. The second thing, so we've got praise, then prayers. I brought in a bit of revelation here just to please Adam Kibble, so hopefully he's around and able to listen. But Revelation 8, verses 3 to 4 says this: then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, mixed with the prayers of God's holy people, ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. I really like scented candles. I know Ruth at the back, she will agree with me. The reason why I like scented candles is because when you walk into a place, it's got this atmosphere about it, and I really like it. One of the biggest compliments you can give me, just FYI, you can all write this down, is if you come to my house and you walk in and you go, oh, it smells really good in here. Yes. Nailed it. Equally, the opposite of true. If you go, oh, it smells a bit strange in here, I will be mortified, okay? Or if you hug me and you say, oh, you smell really nice, same thing, okay? I really like smells. And I just love this imagery that the smoke of the incense and the prayers of God's holy people, us, yeah, all mix together and have this aroma, this smell. It's just got a kind of sensory experience about it, which I like. When we pray together and we offer the sacrifice of prayer, sometimes it is a sacrifice to not just stay where we are, but to turn our attention to God and bring things before him. If we do that, it just smells nice. It fills this temple that we're building, this spiritual temple, with a fragrance that God really likes. It's the best scented candle in the world, if you like. So, praise and prayers. The third thing I think, is our possessions. So Hebrews 13:16, just a little bit on from where I read before, says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." This is kind of do what it says on the tin, really. But I also want to highlight that I think as a church, we are amazing at this. So, little pat on your back, but also, let's keep doing it. You know, we've already heard testimonies of whether it's smoke alarms, and you post up on a Facebook group, "I just need some help, can someone give me a ladder?" You know, we're really good at that. Or if it's, you know, I need something, I need some resource, I need some finance, I don't have enough, I don't have any food, can someone take me to the shops? Whether it's time or money, I think as a church we are really good at sharing what we have. So let's keep doing it. But it's essentially the attitude of what's mine isn't mine, what's mine is ours. And that is tricky if you come and ask me for a lawnmower, because I'm precious about that. But I'm committing to you today that if you ask me for my lawnmower, you can borrow it. So sometimes that can be really hard, right? If you've got things that is yours and you're holding really tightly. But there is an encouragement here that to bring spiritual sacrifices in this spiritual temple that God is building, we need to be willing to release our grip on what we have and share it with one another. And the fourth thing, it's kind of a catch-all if you like, is our presence. So Romans 12 verse 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." This is kind of everything else, right? It's our praise, it's our prayers, it's all everything we own, but it's also us. Who we are, our thoughts, our fears, our dreams, things we're excited about, our past, our present, our future. It's offering it all to God and saying, "This is yours. Build with it. Do something with it." It's our true and proper worship, and it's holy and pleasing to God. So when this verse says that we are God's holy priesthood and we can bring spiritual sacrifices, any one of us can do this. It's not just a select group of people. But it's bringing things that, yes, it costs us something, but hopefully that helps just give a bit of framework. So when you read that and you go, "What does that mean?" Well, you can praise God with what you say, what you speak, what you bring before God and when you do it. Because sometimes, I don't know if anyone's like me, and if me and Hannah are talking about something and she says, I'm grumbling. Normally the scenario is I'm the one complaining. And then Hannah will say, "Well, why don't we pray about it?" And I'm like, "No, I just want to grumble. Just let me wallow in this thing and then I'll be fine." But actually, it's bringing prayer, bringing things before God, and it will smell great as well, so that's nice. Bringing my possessions before God and everything that I own. So what's mine isn't mine, mine is ours, and the presence of all of us together. And so what's the promise in all of this, and why would we do that? I mean, that sounds great. Well, the rest of this verse and this bit in 1 Peter starts bringing together lots of different verses from Isaiah and Psalms and kind of basically pulling everywhere where there's a stone reference, kind of bringing it all under one nice little grouping. But it says this, "As the scriptures say, I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honour, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust in him recognise the honour that God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he's the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them." And that beginning bit there is essentially remixed from Isaiah 28, verse 16. And I'll read that to you, because it sounds familiar, but it's got a nice little twist on it at the end, which I really like. And a nice emphasis. So it says, "Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It's a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken." So we are building on a really firm foundation. Why would we do any of this? Well, Jesus paid an amazing price, because it means all of this is possible. And so we're building on that foundation. And so for those of us that believe that, it gives us a really sure footing for building on. It gives us a good foundation and a sure footing for our lives, and we can be confident that as we hear God and put into action what he says, building that together, that we're becoming more of the spiritual temple that God is designing and is wanting to build on this earth. So, with all of that, I would say, let's do our best to lay hold of this. I've got more and more excited preparing for this because it gave me a bit of a vision of what community is like. And to be honest, everything that I have said was in the first half of this meeting. We praised a bit. We prayed a bit. Trevor came up and we said, you know what? Let's bring that before him. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's use the presence that we have. Let's not be alone. You know, if any of you here feel alone, that's not God's intention. It's to be within a community. If it's this one, great, welcome. But it's to be within a community of people that we are never alone, that we're difficult to remove from, because we're building our lives intentionally in a way that is intertwined with one another. And we can be humble about the fact that he might be asking us to build somewhere new. And that's exciting as well as it is scary for me. Don't know about anyone else. But also, we just need to be patient. But I genuinely believe if we lay hold of that, we will continue to build a community together as God's people that looks more and more like him the more we do it. And I think we're doing a great job. So this is more of an encouragement than it is we're going the wrong way. But I just think it would be amazing to see the fullness of this. And so let's just do our best with Jesus to build in a way that is it's just in line with what God is wanting to build. So that is what I have for you today, really. So short and sweet, I suppose. So we get to go home early. No, I'm joking. But thank you very much for that. I guess just to say and to reiterate that I said at the start, what we are building together is really important. So let's keep doing it. Good stuff.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.